Welcome to Move the Needle. This show is designed to inform, educate, motivate, and provide perspective on all things related to pharmacy provided immunization services. Let's start moving the needle. Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Move the Needle podcast. I'm Jill Murphy here with John Beckner from NCPA and Ed Cohen from Pharmacy Times. And as the name implies, Move the Needle is designed to inform, educate, motivate, and provide perspective on all things related to pharmacy provided immunization services. So let's get started in moving the needle. John and Ed, you both have been involved with pharmacy provided immunization services for a long time. How did you both get started?
Well, Jill, in some respects, it seems like a long time ago, but in other respects, it seems like just yesterday that I got started in immunizations. It was back in 1998. I was working for a very innovative supermarket chain in Virginia that was very innovative in the grocery business, and they encouraged innovation throughout the company. So it was probably a natural that pharmacy department got involved in immunizations. Also had the advantage of residing in a state that was one of the first to allow pharmacists to immunize under a protocol. I think Washington State may have been the first, but Virginia was pretty aggressive. We had some early advantages. The other thing that was significant before Virginia passed a law allowing pharmacists to immunize, we had contracted with nurses, the Instructive Visiting Nurse Association, to come into our stores to provide immunizations. So from the standpoint of patients and customers being used to and comfortable coming to the supermarket to get their seasonal flu shots, we had an advantage there that was established by the nurses. So we had a lot of things going in our favor. And the other thing I'll mention is that had established a very strong connection and relationship with the local school of pharmacy, Virginia Commonwealth University. So we had a shared faculty person. We had a community residency program. You know, this was an ideal place for students to come and train on that particular service. So we got started in 1998 and had a lot of things working in our favor.
You know, John, that story sounds so familiar because my background, when I first got started in immunization services, it was in a grocery chain in Chicago. Very progressive chain, doing some of the similar types of activities, trying to modernize and upgrade the stores and offer advanced services. The state of Illinois allowed pharmacists to provide that service. So again, very similar starts. I had just been promoted. In my time at the grocery store, I became a pharmacy supervisor. And at that time, under my leadership, I inherited a group that was engaged in community pharmacy residency programs. So again, that academic connection, as you had talked about, and it was actually the relationship with the University of Illinois and that residency program that spurred on our initiative to advance practice in our pharmacies and embrace the immunization program. I think we got into it about a year or maybe year and a half before you did. We trained all of our pharmacists that would voluntarily immunize. We trained them all to provide the service. Off we went back in the middle 1990s, providing that service to our customers. It's quite an interesting time and very exciting to change pharmacy. It was revolutionary at the time.
I can tell that both of you are so passionate about this specific field in pharmacy. What is it specifically about immunizations that you both find this passion for it?
Immunization services is the perfect mix of entering the service into the fulfillment system, into our computers as a prescription, and then being able then to go with the product, the vaccine, and sit down with the patient one-on-one and have a conversation. So it's actually the perfect mix of prescription filling and providing a service that's all documented within our systems, and it's all trackable. It was something that really took pharmacy to the level we wanted it to be. mixing those two components together, sitting with the patient, 1 minute, 3 minutes, whatever it took, you got to really bond and create that next level relationship with that patient.
There's so many things about what Ed just said that I agree with. I think, you know, from the standpoint of it's an opportunity to touch patients, to get down to their level, create trust, and they seem so appreciative. I mean, it's a tremendously rewarding service. And I think that's one of the things that has stood out to me. And in some cases, it can be a life-saving service, whether you're administering a seasonal flu vaccine or giving somebody a post-exposure rabies shot. I mean, literally, it can be life-saving in a number of instances. And I really think, you know, when we look back on the history of pharmacy, a pharmacist administered immunizations is going to go down as one of the most significant developments and milestones. You know, I really shudder to think what the practice of pharmacy might look like today if pharmacists were not involved in immunizations. You know, Ed made a great point about the time that you actually get to spend with patients, the 1, 2, or 3 minutes that you sit down and talk to a patient and understand their situation and give them their vaccine is an extremely valuable time. You know, I was passionate about starting an immunization program, you know, 23 years ago, and I'm probably more passionate today because immunizations has grown and grown over the years.
And thinking back to where you guys started, there's always that saying that every expert was once a beginner. Did you guys have that role model or mentor that really got you started into immunizations and to get you to where you're at today?
Yeah, there were probably a couple of folks. I mean, John Grabenstein was, you know, often called the father or grandfather of pharmacist administered immunizations. I think certainly Mitch Rothholz with the American Pharmacists Association has been a mentor and a role model over the years. Very fortunate to work with people like Dennis Stanley. He was one of our staff pharmacists at UCROPS that helped develop one of the first pharmacy center travel vaccine programs in the country. And I have to give kudos to my friend and colleague, Kelly Goode, former president of APHA, that was that shared faculty person that I mentioned earlier. Both of those individuals, you know, they had the attitude of, you know, rather than trying to figure out a reason not to do something, they always had the mindset of, okay, let's figure out a way to make this happen. There may be some challenges and barriers, but let's figure out a way to make it work. And that had a tremendous impact on me.
We followed the APHA program right from its inception. So when we learned that APHA was developing training for pharmacists, and Mitch and John were the fathers back then that championed the development of the training, promoted it to the outside world of pharmacy, we were one of the first to embrace it. Again, we had this relationship with the University of Illinois. Through the residency program, we were, at that particular time, we were the first in the state of Illinois to have a community pharmacy residency program. So I had the luxury of a residency director, my first ever resident, and my shared faculty with the College of Pharmacy. And those three young ladies led the charge to convince me as a director of pharmacy in my next level up, embrace this program and go with it. I was always one of those guys that if it came with a good idea that it sounded solid, I would always say yes. And then of course they'd have to go to work. So Judy Summers Hansen and Margaret Tomecki. So Judy's still doing residency programs and leading the charge in immunizations for another company today. Margaret is with APHA in a role there. And both of them have, for the past 25 years, championed the advancement of pharmacy and the practice of pharmacy in every way. They were my influencers. They were my motivators. I became the administrator on record, and I had to clear the road so that these smart young ladies that were pushing me had a road to travel. So it was my job to clear all the trees and pave the road so that we could move forward with this immunization program. And I will tell you, and I think John would agree, that the administration at these grocery chains it was something new, but it was so new that it was something different in and for the practice of pharmacy that we really needed to convince the higher ups that this was something that can and should be done. That was my part of the role in the activity then. It was quite a passionate time.
And you mentioned how you really had to talk to these higher ups to get the road started and cleared for you, Ed. Both of you can answer this question for me. Were there any other early challenges or barriers that you had to overcome to get to where you're at today?
The administration was number one, convincing them that they could actually have a revenue flow from a new service, calling it a service and not associating just with the product was very foreign to those gentlemen and ladies and my senior leadership team. But then as we got into it, our fulfillment system wasn't ready to capture immunization services. So we did roster billing. It was all paper-based. There was no follow-up systems and all kinds of technology that we have today to make the service, the provision of this service, easy. So it was marketing and the pharmacist with a roster, and we just captured the information of the patient and off we went providing this service. So it was like going back to the Stone Ages, if you really think about it. And you look at the technology advances today, and I'll let John go through all of that in a second. But I will mention, John, in our development of our services, we had met Kelly that you referenced, and we became good friends with her. And that's how I learned of yourself and the activities that you were doing down at UCROPS. You guys were front and center in our minds, and we were emulating what you had done and what you were doing back up at Dominic's in Chicago. So we kept following all of your escapades and kind of mimic what you were doing down there to get the same type of success.
Yeah, Kelly's been a good friend and certainly somebody that's been very supportive of our program over the years and used the term escapades. I think Kelly might characterize some of what I did early on with immunizations as an escapade. But, you know, we experienced some of the same issues being a grocery company. I mean, there was kind of the grocery, even though we were a pretty progressive company, there was, I like to use the term grocery mentality that we had to overcome in terms of, you know, making sure our department was a revenue generating department. And, you know, once the bean counters and the powers that be understood that, they were more supportive, and certainly became clear that folks coming into the grocery store to get their immunizations, they were staying to buy other things. I think it was certainly a traffic generator. Some other challenges that come to mind, I think we had 10 pharmacies when we got started, and most of the pharmacists really embraced this early on. But there were a few folks that were concerned about giving an injection, so I think we had to overcome that. There was also, I guess, a misperception that it really took a long time to give a vaccine or an immunization as opposed to filling a prescription. So once we convinced our folks that it really took no longer to give an immunization than it did to fill a prescription, and in some cases it was easier, I think everybody really, really jumped on board. There were a couple of other things that come to mind. Back in mid-2000s, late 2000s, we did experience some vaccine shortages. We had to overcome those. I don't think you see those today because there are more people making the vaccine, but back then there were only a couple of companies, and if something happened to one of them, you know, you're really kind of behind the eight ball. The other thing early on in pharmacist-administered immunizations was that there were some turf issues with the medical community. I think by and large, those have been overcome over the years, but in the early days, physicians were pretty adamant that they didn't want pharmacists giving immunizations. And I remember one year when we had a shortage, we actually shared the vaccine that we got with some of our friends in the medical community. And we made a lot of friends by doing that. You know, things got better over the years, but those were some of the initial challenges.
You know, John, you had mentioned earlier on that the nurses had provided immunizations, the flu shots in the grocery stores, and we had the same program. We started training our pharmacists and transitioning to a pharmacist-based service model, we needed to slowly phase out the nursing company. Yep. And that was another challenge because they saw the handwriting on the wall that we were displacing them and moving them away. And we had to make sure we did it in such a way where they still supported us for what we needed, but understood that it was a declining business model. That was a big challenge because we wanted to make sure that every store was able to provide this service, regardless if it was by a nurse or a pharmacist.
You know, Ed, that's, I mean, your situation was just eerily similar to ours. I mean, we gave the nurses a lot of credit for our program getting off on the right foot. In fact, we had stores that did not have pharmacies. So once the pharmacists started administering immunizations, we continued to work with the nurses and allowed them to administer vaccines in the stores that did not have pharmacies, because we wanted to give credit where credit was due and continue with that relationship. One other thing I'll mention that comes to mind, I mentioned turf issues with the medical community. We had to identify a physician early on to sign our protocol because that's the way the law was in Virginia. We identified a physician who's actually a friend of mine, and I asked him to sign the protocol when we were playing golf one day. And he signed the protocol, and you know, we gradually expanded that protocol over the years to include, you know, travel vaccines and things like that. But this guy ultimately became a tremendous advocate for pharmacist-administered immunizations. And it's really what you want. You want somebody outside the profession advocating for you. And Shane Krause became a tremendous advocate for pharmacist-administered immunizations.
John, I actually wanted to go back to what you said about how physicians were very adamant about the pharmacists giving the vaccines. Are there other attitudes that you've seen change that not only from the patient perspective, but from the pharmacist perspective about immunization services?
Yeah, you know, I think pharmacist attitudes have changed over the years. I mentioned initial reluctance of, you know, giving injections. I think pharmacists quickly overcame that. I think most pharmacists today will tell you that providing immunizations, whether it's seasonal flu or COVID or travel vaccines, that's a very enjoyable part of their job. You mentioned patients. I think patients' confidence in pharmacist-administered immunizations has certainly grown over the years. And then I mentioned the physician situation. I think pharmacist-administered immunizations has actually served to strengthen the relationship between pharmacy and the medical community.
Well, I can tell you that anytime I go for my annual physical at the physician's office over the years, early on, he always recommended that I get a flu shot from him somewhere in the middle 2000s. It became, have you gotten your flu shot at your local pharmacy? So a lot of the perception of pharmacists administering immunizations has grown and evolved over the years. And we've proven ourselves over and over. But the attitude's clearly changed at my physician's office. And for the most part, any vaccine that I may be due for or need, it's always a question of, do I want to get it at the doctor's office today? Or would I rather go to my pharmacy and have it done there? That in itself is a huge paradigm change. And then, of course, you know, John and I live in the same world, so our experiences are very, very similar. Great job articulating that, John.
You know, one thing, Ed, that I'll add on to that, when you see some of the advertisements, and I'll point to the ads for Shingrix. You know, pharmacists and physicians are mentioned in their ads, but pharmacists are now mentioned first. I think that kind of points to the fact that things have really changed over the years. And you know, pharmacy is one of the first things people think about when they think of, you know, where do I go get my immunization? I think the large percentage of seasonal flu shots are now administered in pharmacies. So things have changed over time, for sure.
There was a another pharma company years ago that they were the first ones to develop a shingles vaccine. a frozen vaccine that ended up being offered to seniors under the Medicare Part D billing. And that was a pharmacy only billing. And they struggled tremendously to develop a line of business that supported this vaccine being offered by pharmacists. They had always supported the medical community, looked at the medical community as a first line. And for the first time in for this company, they needed to now look at the pharmacist as a provider of one of their products. So well, in the beginning, we were the sole provider of that product. They changed. They've come a long way. They now have a whole division that supports pharmacy and pharmacist provision of immunization services. So the pharma's come a long way. The medical community has come a long way. We've transitioned from nurses, and my apologies to the nurse community. They did a wonderful job. And then patients on the other side are embracing pharmacy tremendously. Not to sound on a soapbox or anything, but when a vaccine is required or there's a strong recommendation for a vaccine, people seem to find their way to the pharmacy to get their vaccines. And we see that with the senior community, flu, pneumonia, and other vaccines that are available to seniors. That's been really pharmacy's sweet spot, providing immunization services to seniors through the Medicare billing. When vaccines are recommended, that 18 to 64-year-old cohort, not so willing and wanting to get a shot in the first place, and then not finding themselves in a convenient spot called the pharmacy to get those shots, we're really now for the first time seeing that cohort identifying with the pharmacy through COVID, really learning and embracing the service that we're providing today.
Yeah, I think you just made a great point with COVID. I think COVID has served to strengthen the relationship between patients and pharmacists, because so many patients have come to the pharmacy to receive their COVID vaccines. I think early on, there were a lot of mass immunization sites. By and large, over time, folks have really started relying on the pharmacy for that service. I know that's going to be the case as we enter the time for boosters. But I think COVID has really put pharmacy on the map when it comes to providing the service. And certainly the PREP Act authorization, you know, authorizing pharmacists to administer down to age 3 and pharmacy really stepping up to the plate and embracing that role and responsibility. Hopefully the end result is going to be the lessening of state-based restrictions, whether it's age restrictions or vaccine-specific restrictions. I think we all want to get to the point where pharmacists can administer all ACIP-approved vaccines, and I think we're heading in that direction.
In addition, the PREP Act gave our pharmacy technicians the privilege to offer and provide COVID vaccines and now flu vaccines. And, you know, it's really, I must say that, not getting political by any means, but now you've got two presidents in a row that have embraced pharmacy, and the president of pharmacy chains standing at a podium at the White House and calling out pharmacy just recently about the provision of COVID vaccines, embracing pharmacists and pharmacy. And you've never seen or heard pharmacy on the national news at the forefront of providing a service for the country. And this, I think, is paramount to advancing pharmacy as a true healthcare provider, essential component of that healthcare continuum.
Ed, I'm glad you mentioned technician-administered immunizations, because I think you've just given us a topic for a future podcast. There are a lot of attitudes and opinions around technicians administering immunizations. Mm-hmm. I know you and I have pretty strong opinions, and frankly, mine has changed over time. So I think we will have a future podcast that's devoted to that particular topic.
You both have mentioned a lot of how pharmacy is coming a long way, and we discussed a lot about how you got to where you're at today and a little bit about of what you want to see in the future. Is there anything else that really stands out to you when you think about both of your immunization journeys, such as taking risks or dealing with shortages, dealing with public health crises, anything else that you both would love to highlight in your journeys?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. I think we've covered a lot, Jill, but you know, one thing that, actually a couple of things stand out to me. I mean, we were able to implement an immunization program back in the 90s without making it mandatory. The pharmacist, almost to a person, embraced their role in providing that service. So that was very gratifying that it was something that they really wanted to do. The H1N1 epidemic of 2009 stands out as, you know, one of the first opportunities for pharmacy to engage with public health. I mean, certainly our engagement with regard to that pales in comparison to what we've been dealing with over the last 18 months. So the other thing that I'll mention with regard to our program got started and really over the years, the importance of marketing, telling the public, telling providers that you offer that service, whether it's, you know, identifying the different vaccines that you offer to your hours of operation. But, you know, one of the neat things that we did was we really sought out coverage from the news media. We actually went on air and administered flu shots to news anchors. So anything that we could do to draw attention to our program, since it was a new program, we felt like we needed to do.
Early on, when I went into pharmacy, I went into pharmacy because that was my place in medicine and healthcare where I could provide a service to my customers and patients, but not have to touch people. And then immunizations came along, and it was a service that I truly embraced, and was not fearful of. But when I went out to socialize this to all my pharmacists, they too had this same perception that, you know, I provide this service, I don't want to get that intimate, as they would say, to touch a person, provide and stick a needle in somebody. We did a lot of hand-holding and coddling to get people to embrace the service, erase their fears that providing this service was really much simpler. You teach your patients how to provide themselves insulin on a daily basis, yet you're fearful of providing a immunization to a patient, but you're teaching patients to do it to themselves. We conquered that huge, huge mountain of fear and anxiety with our pharmacists. Today, we have a practice of pharmacy where there's several generations that have no knowledge of a time where pharmacy did not include immunizations. So John and I are very unique in that we've been through many iterations of the profession, but today there's several generations. They get their training in pharmacy school and they're providing immunizations as a student pharmacist, you know, early on in their career. I think the other things that stand out are all the innovations around vaccines and the promise of vaccines for HIV and for cancer. Pharmacy having an opportunity to participate in those programs is just very exciting. And then the offshoot of providing vaccines, where many states have allowed pharmacists the privilege to administer injectable medications as a second line of injectable services. And that's been a very exciting time as well. You know, I've been in this immunization business for a long time. I have great experience, great colleagues. John, you're one of them. But I have to call out, way back in the beginning, I never would have thought about this or done this had it not been for my relationships with the University of Illinois, my shared faculty. Her name was Pam, and then Judy Summers Hansen. She was just adamant that we just take on this service and move forward. And I will tell you that was probably career-changing activity, not only for myself, but for every pharmacist that worked at Dominic's at that time.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, Ed. You know, I'm glad you mentioned students. I mean, our students, we could not have done our offsite flu clinics without the students from primarily Virginia Commonwealth University. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned your academic partners. I mean, the relationship with VCU and Kelly Goode were instrumental in our program getting started and being sustainable over the years. So I can't I can't give enough credit there. Well, we certainly could not have grown immunizations, certainly could not have grown pharmacist-administered immunizations without the tremendous support from industry partners like Vaxserv, Merck, Pfizer, GSK, and I'm sure there are others who have provided resources over the years, patient education resources, pharmacist resources, workflow recommendations. All these things have been very important to helping pharmacy grow their immunization business.
They've supported us in our journey, as you articulate, John. And as we see for the future, new innovative vaccines coming to market, pharmacy will be considered an essential part of providing those vaccines. And it doesn't necessarily have to be for a disease like flu or COVID, a virus like this, but it can be for a life-saving disease. It could be vaccines for cancer and HIV, as we've talked before. And pharmacists will have a role in providing those services as well.
Back to your point about, you know, not wanting to touch people early on. You know, I was one of the first people to take the training program. I was right there with the other pharmacists. In fact, one of my pharmacists, who was probably one of the more reluctant pharmacists in terms of giving injections, we had to pair up. He was my partner, and I remember when he was practicing on me, he pulled the needle out and stream of blood ran down my arm. And I think he was scared to death he was going to get fired. So I think he ever came that. But I felt like it was important to set the tone by me going through the program that others follow. So we got off to a pretty good start. And I got to tell you, one of my favorite times of year was flu shot season, where we'd go to employer groups, we'd go to factories, we'd go to law firms, we'd go to physicians' offices. It was a fun time. That's, you know, as you can tell, I'm still pretty passionate about it.
Yes, sir. I will add one last thought here. We started out, as you just said, flu season was this short 4 or 5 month period of the year, and immunization services slowly evolved to incorporate additional vaccines and became a year-round program. And we talk, industry folks like John and myself, we talk about seasonality of immunization services. So stuff you do in the spring and the fall and back to school and all kinds of different parts of the program, all activities, all topics for our continued conversation in this Move the Needle podcast series. So, John, it's my pleasure to join you and be part of this exciting endeavor.
My pleasure, Ed. It's going to be a fun ride.
Don't worry, both of you. This fun will continue because next month, both John and Ed will focus on gaps in immunization rates and how building your immunization business can make a difference.